really the only two non-negotiables I have for Thanksgiving food is that dark meat is better than white meat.
Well, sure.
And that cranberry sauce is trash.
Oh, nope, nope. Oh, you can leave this podcast. Awful.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
All right, welcome back to the Wheel Route Podcast. This is a mildly legitimate conversation amongst friends where we discuss college football and break down lifestyle. You can find the Wheel Route at www.thewheelroute.com, at the Wheel Route on Twitter, Wheel Route Podcast on Instagram, and you can send emails to wheelroutepodcast@gmail.com. You can download the show, as per usual, from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. And yeah, my name is Logan Whitehouse. Find me on Twitter at LogwanTheDon. Coming at you from Stuart, Florida, where we are fully in Chip Kelly watch 2K17. It's exciting times here in the Sunshine State.
My name is Jordan Shank. I'm in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I'm on Twitter.com at ShankJordan. I am very excited to chat with my bros tonight.
Nice. You know? All right.
Just chat with the bros. I ran out of snarky things to say last week, so.
We've been doubling up episodes this year, so it's hard. Yeah, there's a lot of snark.
Speaking of, my name is Jason Kreck. I do tweets at Jason Kreck. I'm also in Harrisonburg. It's pretty chilly, but I'm excited to have this group meeting and really kind of break down and really dig into my itinerary for the Bahamas this weekend.
Excellent.
Kind of crowdsource this thing so I don't have to make any decisions at all.
SPF 100. That's the only decision you need
you
to make.
Hit up. You got to hit up Atlantis and you got to go on the Leap of Faith.
I don't know what the Leap of Faith is, but it does not sound like something I would enjoy as somebody who's not a big fan of standing on like fourth floor balconies. So
it's a water slide. But the nice thing is that you can't see it. Like, it starts in an enclosed tube, and then it opens up, and it is, like, could not be more sheer of a drop. Like,
sure.
It's one of those things that's, like, as
steep. You don't have time
steep,
to get scared.
Do you stand in it, and then it, like, lets you go, or?
No. Well, there was no trapdoor when I went on it, but it's just, like a dark tube, and they're, like, the light flashes green, and then you're just, like, poof, and then it's, like, woo, and then whoosh, you are going straight down, brother. So, you should
you
check
know
it out.
You know where else they keep water is on the same... on the same level as I am. I can just sit in it and drink.
You can't lazy, get you. You gotta get your lazy river on. I'm just saying it's good for the heart.
I know. I can be about a lazy river.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, hey, happy to break that down for you. You guys drinking?
Yes, I have a beer that is called a delicious IPA.
Delicious IPA. Nice.
And it Stone. Is. It is pretty delicious.
Not wildly creative with their names.
Mm-hmm. Jason, what man can you got this week?
Oh, I have 24 delicious ounces of Budweiser Light.
Okay. I like the subtle shift that you've made. You exhausted the weirdness of Sheets, and you have just moved on.
He dabbled into the hipster. Cans.
I let it get a little weird, and now I'm coming back home.
When are you gonna go Foster's oil can, green oil can?
As soon as I find one.
When JMU plays in the national title game in Sydney.
When I get the tournament down under.
Down under title.
Down under. Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
Mate.
Mate. All right, guys. Anything
what are you
else?
Drinking, Logan?
Oh, jeez, man. I have the Funky Buddha Floridian again, since it's Chip Kelly watch 2K17.
Right. Got to get funky with it. Yeah. I will say I had a beer this weekend at the unofficial location of the HHS reunion every Thanksgiving.
Rhymes with
right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to bleep that. It is it is Ruby's. And
you picked the one word it rhymes with that you can't say.
Right.
You can't say
rhymes with tubies or anyhow.
Lubies.
The
newbies.
The beer was called a Sticky Nugs IPA from Sweetwater.
Oh.
And it was really good. It's in a 16-ounce tall boy, and they call that can the Dank Tank. So
wow.
If y'all are looking to get,
I'm gonna take like a wild stab.
Is it like a cannabis themed beer?
Yeah, I'm gonna assume the sticky nugs they're referring to are not the tiny pieces of chicken at Billy Jack's.
No relation.
And are instead
the dank
legal
dank,
in Colorado.
The dank, dank Colorado nugs of
the dankest cron yeah. in the whole
yeah.
world.
Yeah, talk about double meeting with the Denver Nuggets now. Hey,
oh. The Denver nicely Sticky done. Nugs. Nicely I hope done. They have alternate unis that just say Sticky Nugs on the front.
St. Patrick's Day green uniforms. They can really get
yes, perfect. Or the holiday ones, like their Christmas uniforms. Mm,
there's like a 10% chance this is already in the works.
Right. I mean, well,
oh, it's
well,
already probably on r/NBA.
Yeah.
Copyright. Copyright. Wheel Route Podcast had it first verbally.
Please credit the Wheel Route.
Really, all you need to do is credit us. We're just looking for a little bit of that. All right, well, let's move into, since this week kind of blows, guys. Gonna be honest with you all, not a whole lot of action this week. We're gonna have fun picking some weird games, but let's go ahead and talk about everyone's favorite topic. It's silly season, guys.
The early signing period.
We're fully into silly season. Early signing period is coming up. That probably has an effect on the silliness of the silly season.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
is the coaching carousel.
That is topical.
It's gonna get so, messy. Yeah.
I ranked the four definite open, like, Power Five jobs.
Ahead and made an executive ranking.
Fine.
Well,
whatever. I mean, I didn't.
Thanks for
considering. I did it wrong. I did it wrong too because I had Ole Miss ahead of Tennessee.
I was gonna ask about that.
Well,
you're running this podcast and its show notes into the ground, Logan.
That was my bad. So anyhow, I think
could get on board with that though.
Would we agree that Florida is the best available open job currently?
Sure. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sure you guys have Twitter, and the hot buzz in the Twitters the past couple of days has been first of all, the whereabouts of a certain private jet and a certain athletic director, Florida's athletic director. But yeah, there's been a lot of Chip Kelly, I guess, rumblings. I'm gonna be honest with you, I didn't really see this coming. Rolled my eyes a little bit at like him being a serious candidate at first, but it appears that there's mutual interest, and gotta be honest, I think it would be like a really amazing home run hire.
Yeah, I think if I was a Florida fan, I'd still want Scott Frost. One, he would be my top choice, but if I can't get Frost, if Frost has his sights set on the Nebraska job for some strange reason, or if he's just not all that interested in Florida, then yeah, I think Kelly is a great hire. I don't love the possibility of Kelly returning to the NFL in several years, though.
You don't think he'll do that, or do you think he would like to do that?
No, I think he would like to do that, and that's what makes him a less desirable candidate if I was a Florida fan, because I'm always a big fan of like hire a guy who can be here for 15 years and do awesome.
Sure.
And while that's not generally realistic the way the biz goes these days, you still want to give yourself that chance, I feel like, but,
right.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's
Chip's intrigued and he's engaged, then great hire. Absolutely.
Right. I would agree, and I think I share some of the concerns about the NFL stuff too. But on the same token, like, who's to say that Urban Meyer or Dan Mullen or even Scott Frost doesn't have his sights set on eventually coaching in the NFL too? They just haven't done it yet. So it's, you know,
They're keeping it a better secret.
You could sort of, I guess, fairly ask that question about more folks, but
like Justin Fuente, for example.
But if that's the only real drawback, I mean, I think there maybe you could say is some personal baggage there with Chip. I don't know that he's like a very warm and cuddly guy. I don't know that Florida necessarily needs a warm and cuddly guy to be their coach, but they definitely need a guy that can stand up at a press conference and, you know, face the music and answer questions and maybe not be a complete weirdo. So I think that would be interesting. I definitely think Chip is a better college fit, the way he likes to run sort of a holistic program on you know, he's like a Tom Herman. He makes sure you have championship hydration levels, and he's into all the advanced biometric stuff and all that. So, I don't know. I think that could be a cool, you know, tool. I think at Florida, don't they already have the Gatorade Sports Science Institute thing there? So,
I'm sure.
Could have some cool like teaming opportunities that would probably fare well in recruiting.
Yeah, from Jason, what I've heard, like, I, not to roll over you, Jason, but I, like, there's a guy I worked with in the UVA football office for a couple of years, and after he graduated, he spent a year working with the Eagles when Chip was there, and okay. he, like, he had a ton of great things to say just about how, like, detail-oriented Chip is and, like, how he runs, like you said, Logan, the whole ship, and he knows exactly what he wants from every single nook and cranny of the operation that he's running. So,
which I think plays a lot better in college than it does in the NFL, unless you're Bill Belichick, you know. Right. So.
Yeah, I think I think you guys pretty much covered all of it and why he'd be a good fit at Florida. I think that Chip's roots are kind of why he's like that. You know, he came up in New Hampshire at the FCS level, where you kind of, like, you have to run everything. Like, you have some, like a good staff, like, don't get me wrong, but, like, at Oregon, he probably had, like, 20 just volunteer graduate assistants, whatever you want to call them, breaking down everything. And but I think at New Hampshire, he kind of had to run the whole show, and that definitely does play better at the college level. It probably plays even better at the FCS level, but it certainly will work. Mm-hmm. It obviously worked at Oregon. Florida is a whole different animal, just from in terms of old money donors who want to feel a part of something, and this is how we've always done it, and that sort of thing. And anybody who works in collegiate athletics can tell you that's a huge dragon to slay. Mm-hmm. That being said, if anybody can do it, Chip Kelly has the...
stones.
Has the stones, has the pedigree, has the proven track record, that sort of thing.
Right.
To at least shut that side of things up. So I think he'd be a great hire. That being said, it's going to be fun to watch the drama go down either way.
For sure.
Somebody tweeted out today that, I think it was Strickland wants to move fast and wants to get Chip Kelly hired, but that Steve Spurrier wants Scott Frost. And Steve Spurrier quote tweeted and said, yeah, that's not the case at all. He's like, I'll get behind anybody that Strickland hires.
Said, I am not endorsing or recommending anyone for this job. I completely trust Strickland, and he's going to make the decision for the university. So
yeah, and I got to hand it.
And I love Scott Strickland's, like, essentially meme-based, like, smart replies on Twitter. Like, that's awesome to me. I enjoy that because I, you know, as part of my profession, I get super annoyed at sources because it's always somebody talking out their ass and has an agenda. And so I respect that Scott Strickland's just like, none of you guys know crap. Enjoy it. Right. Like,
Yeah. So, I mean, aside from that, from an actual football fit standpoint, I think it would be dynamite, though, to have.
Absolutely. It'd be a great hire.
Like we've talked about, to be a big school in Florida and in the SEC and run a spread offense, like, I think that puts you a leg up recruiting a certain type of player. A lot of high schools, obviously in Florida, especially run spread offenses. So, you know, you're going to be really the only big school that does that unless Florida State moves on. And then, so anyhow, I mean, I think just from a football standpoint, that could be really cool. And, a lot of people say, like, oh, Chip Kelly doesn't like to recruit and his team's never played good defense. And neither of those things are actually that true.
No.
He recruited fine at Oregon.
Oregon played pretty good defense while he was there.
Oregon played pretty good too, occasionally elite defense while he was there. Now I think he had a long time carryover defensive coordinator. So, I mean, that's an important hire, but that's always going to be an important hire. Yeah. So,
interim coach in Knoxville who knows a thing or two about defense at Oregon.
Right. Well,
bet those headsets work in the swamp too.
The hot rumor on the defensive coordinator would be like, oh, they'd probably take a look at John Chavis because Texas A&M is probably going to clear house, that would be a hell of a – he's an SEC lifer, defensive coordinator. Solid. That's a heck combo. of a hire if you could get it. So, anyhow, all right, let's move on. Next up, I think we would probably put Tennessee as the next best job that we definitely know is open. I don't think I'd put Ole Miss up there just because recruiting to Ole Miss is more difficult and you're on the wrong side of the SEC.
Yeah, but you might get hit with sanctions.
Well, yeah, and the sledgehammer that's forthcoming. But what do you guys think about Tennessee's opening?
I cannot wait for them to hire somebody not named John Gruden.
I know, I have no idea who it's going to be. I just know it's going to be glorious.
Yeah. Right. So we kind of talked about, I think there's a tier of coaches that Tennessee could hire that would probably be good hires that the fan base would just absolutely, hate from day one. Yep. Like, and I would put, what did we talk about? Cutcliffe and probably Matt Campbell in that, in that list.
They'd probably be angry with even like Norvell.
They'd be annoyed at Norvell. They'd be pissed at the SMU's coach.
Chad Morris, thank you.
Right.
All very good hires, yeah. I think.
And they would want to burn that stadium.
All of them would piss off every 55-year-old white dude that gives money to that athletics department.
Right. So, I mean, Tennessee, like, I don't know. Is the job worth a John Gruden-type investment? I mean, I don't know. I just think that it's definitely not going to be Gruden, you know, I would say.
Yeah, there's, like...
I don't think any... I mean... Football Scoop is kind of the go-to. They hear stuff that nobody else hears, and they've had like three straight like Tennessee coaching updates where they're just like, "Stop saying this; it's not happening." So I think if it does happen, I think it would be genuinely shocking at this point. I don't think there's any chance.
So Forbes, I just pulled this up while we were finishing talking about Florida. Forbes says that Gruden is ESPN's highest-paid personality, and he makes close to $7 million a year. The guy
And that's straight salary. That's not endorsements. That's not anything else. That's straight.
You don't
ESPN's
have to worry about
books.
Performance bonuses or like making a bowl game gets you an extra $500K. Like
APR in Bristol don't matter, Paul.
Right. Mm-hmm. This guy stacks paper on a 2-day a week work week and just has the biggest smile on his face. Why would you give that up to try and recruit 16 to 18-year-olds to come? Tennessee.
Where literally your own, like, that's the thing. It's one thing if, like, it's his alma mater or they, like, love him or something. He was, like, GA there.
Right. And like, his kid goes there. That's really, that's it. And
for
it's
a nuts year to more, me. Maybe.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he's a rising senior, I think.
Right.
I'm embarrassed that I know that much about John.
Yeah, that was
Gruden's
quick.
Kid,
that was real quick.
It's not Deuce Gruden. So that's what's really the problem here. But yeah, so I mean, I think
what if they come out and they're like, guys, we got a Gruden.
It's like, good news. Guys, well, we want to welcome Gruden. Coach Gruden.
Coach Deuce Gruden.
It's assistant strength coach for the Washington Redskins and current, like, 170-pound powerlifting world champ, Deuce Gruden. Yeah, that would be amazing. I think the betting odds have Dan Mullen as the favorite. I don't know that hire inspires a whole lot of confidence from the Tennessee fans, but again, I think that's a good hire.
They'd have to pay Dan Mullen out the
They really would. I mean, he makes like $4.5 million at Mississippi State.
He would have to
take
three huge steps backwards in terms of the SEC. Like he's got a pretty good thing going right now.
Yeah, he's finishing third in the West every year and not having to worry about it.
Yeah, like he's just doing fine. And Spencer Hall always talks about like, hey, you give him like 15 years, he'll be caught up to Alabama. He's just taking a baby step at a time.
Isn't Tennessee's cross conference rival Alabama?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
which really sucks. I mean, yeah, I complain that Florida's is LSU, and I mean, my God, like
so
Tennessee
Heckman,
has to
he's used to playing Alabama every year. He's got a leg up on whoever else might take that job.
Yeah, I mean, Jason, I think that the one thing you could say for him is like I think the ceiling probably is higher at Tennessee than it is at Mississippi State. So if you wanted to
you could make that case,
and you could also argue that he's hit the ceiling at Mississippi State, I think. Just based on ability to recruit and being in the West, you know,
that,
it's just
the West is more. Yeah, I that's fair.
You know, I mean, he's proven he can develop quarterbacks. He usually has an effective offense, and I mean, his teams are usually competitive and prepared for big games. So, I mean, he is a good coach, and I think would make a team happy ultimately. I just don't know that he's not a sexy name, and that's what's really working against him at this point. Right. Old Danny Mullen.
Is there anybody outside of Gruden that would make Tennessee happy?
Saban. See, that's what I'm wondering. Chip Kelly?
Like, I think it's pretty much Gruden and Chip Kelly are the only two like quasi-realistic.
Please,
right?
Names.
And like, and if you think Gruden, like you said, Jordan, if you think Gruden's gonna step into that pressure cooker just to do that, like, because he like loves the coaching grind, like if he loves the coaching grind, he'd go coach the Bucks again.
Yeah, I was gonna say he could have an NFL job tomorrow.
Yeah. So,
and he wouldn't have to recruit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think, realistically, I don't know why they wouldn't give Norvell a long, hard look. I think he would be a good fit.
That's
been
the easy choice right there.
Yeah, he's been coaching in Tennessee. I guess the question you'd have to ask is if Arkansas moves on, they're probably going to give Norvell a hard look too, being in Memphis. So,
yep.
That would be a good fit. All right, we'll move on. Ole Miss. It, has anyone heard any buzz about this job?
Not even a little.
I mean, I guess we're waiting
on. They're going to have to take a flyer on somebody. Like they're like not
sanctions
gonna...
to come down. I've heard some like has Matt Luke done enough to earn the job? I'm like, oof, yeah. Oof. Sorry,
it gets
Ole
dark
Miss.
Real fast. They're gonna.
You guys had the number one recruiting class in the country like 3 years ago,
and I
now...
think they're. I if I had to guess, I think they're probably actively tamping down any rumors. They're
sure.
Probably doing everything as discreet as possible because, yeah, they just.
I mean,
they're going to have to take a flyer on somebody.
They've had a full season to stare at it and think about it. And
They're going to have to take a flyer on somebody. They can't. They're not going to be able to get a name. They're not going to be able to convince. Unless they just completely mortgage, like, unless they just dip deep into the Scrooge McDuck vault of coins.
Or they take, like, the approach to, like, Baylor took, and you hire, like 1 year away, up and coming G5 guy that like is will and give him a long contract. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
give him 6 years.
Do you hire like Les Miles and just say like, hey, come coach us for while we're in sanctions and have fun.
Yeah,
and recruit some kids that can keep the talent level up, and then when we're done with sanctions, you know the deal. But we're going
to
pay you. We'll
promote you to athletic director, and
I was
going to
say
you can move on.
That assistant to the athletic director role that is just so glorious.
The Spurrier. You can get the Spurrier here.
Right. So I mean, I don't know who any realistic fits would be. I mean, I guess you could
Brett Favre's got history in Mississippi.
That's true. Speaking of Brett Favre, I watched that. Did you guys read that article from Smart Football about the Mills like passing concept?
No, I didn't have time today, but as soon as I saw it, it took everything in me to not like sound the Logan Whitehouse alarm bell.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. But like there's like an awesome Brett Favre clip, and he's like, "I'm looking at this passing tree, and I know that the play is designed to go to the tight end, but I see that post, and I know I can get." And he's like, "And I know I can get it there." Like it was like a meme of Brett Favre. Like what you think is like Brett Favre / Rex Grossman / any of the
like if SNL was parodying Brett Favre.
Yes,
that's
yes,
what
and it's him talking to John Gruden too on like the coaching little John Gruden quarterback thing too. And he's like, "Now this is designed to get the ball to the tight end." He's like, "I know that and I understand that, but the first thing that I saw was that post, and I knew I had the arm strength to get the ball there." And I was like, "Yes,
what a life, man! That's the best."
He's in like a sleeveless T-shirt and a hat, just like sitting there, just white
Wranglers on.
Again, this is what Gruden gets paid $7 million a year to do.
Yeah,
just like
exactly.
Shop it up with Brett Favre about like the good old days.
I would like to go on record to ESPN that I will do John Gruden's job for half his price.
I'll do it for a tenth.
yeah, I'm there too. I don't. He
like
probably
the
doesn't have to live in Bristol either.
In Price is Right, you jerk.
Well, yeah, 700K. Yeah, 700K goes a long way down here here in the FL. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Well, there's no income tax.
All right, guys. Oregon State. Any thoughts on this? Nothing. I think McElwain's the only fit I could think of.
It gets him closer geographically to Montana.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
He's got that going for him.
He can take his dog Clarabelle up there in the mountains, and they could go on like nude treks during the summer and such. Just feel the sun's energy.
Probably no sharks that far northwest though.
Oh, that's gonna be a bummer. He might have to get one flown in.
Long term relationships, man, they're tough.
Long term.
Long distance.
All right.
Sorry.
Okay, and in the maybe category of jobs, I think Texas A&M is probably gonna pop open here.
If that opens, do you put that number two or number three?
I put that number two.
I'd say number two.
Yep.
Based purely on location.
Location, resources, etc.
Yeah, they're in the West, but I still think that you can definitely recruit way better than you can at Tennessee just on natural fit. I saw a thing that was like Tennessee has 9 players in like the top 300, and Florida has like 52. And they're just like, you're just like doing a comparison of like how like recruiting works
in
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, proximity to like elite talent.
Do you think Texas A&M announces a firing and a hiring of SMU's coach in the same press release, or do you think they wait a day?
I mean, that's the natural place to go on that. Chad Morris would be, but I don't know. Does Chad Morris more of
the
same?
His name for the life of
It's stuck in my head.
Is he like a little bit like more of the same like that that someone kind of tried to do? I don't know like how great of a shift you're gonna try to make.
I can understand that, yeah, but like at the same time, like what are you looking for?
Oh, I mean, he was a Texas high school coach forever. Right. He's at Clemson, now he's back in Texas. Like, I mean,
he's got some dabble.
I guess he's
on
got
him.
That same brand of like of young, exciting, like right. We do things the cool way, but like
right. But the hot rumor is that they want to go after Jimbo.
That's true. I did
yeah,
see that.
That's right.
That would be funny.
So, I mean, Jimbo's buyout is like $38-39 million, yeah, dollars, which is just amazing.
But
you
can call 4 Texas A&M donors, and they could have
sure.
that ready.
Yeah, they could sell a couple of wells, and you could be off to the races. So
we got a lot
yeah,
to
I mean,
old money.
Right. So, I mean, Texas A&M's an enticing possibility. I mean, I think Sumlin makes a ton of money as it
I'm
is.
Sure,
too.
He does.
I mean, I think he makes like $5 million or something like that. So.
That.
All right, Nebraska. Where does Nebraska rank in this pantheon? Are they better than Tennessee or no?
No.
No.
No, probably not. Not in its current state.
Yeah, I would say probably not. They are on the good side of the Big Ten, though. But Tennessee is also on the good side of the SEC.
So. I don't see how you recruit to Nebraska.
Well, you're close to Ohio, aren't you?
Right,
I think you have to just recruit the living tar out of Ohio.
Pick the crumbs out off of like who doesn't go to Ohio State or Michigan State.
Just take
Kentucky
take
or
every
like,
recruit.
Yeah, yeah.
Take every recruit that North Dakota State offers. That's a start.
Yeah,
and then
there's your scout team.
Try to steal a 5-star or 2 from Ohio, and that's
just
your
a
start.
Lot of like 5'11", like 210-pound linebackers, just side to side, neck roll, cowboy collar. Yeah.
They play
yeah,
the game
so, I mean,
the right way, Logan.
I think. They're probably, I would say, pretty locked in on Frost. I don't know what they do if they don't get Frost.
Triple option.
That would be wonderful. You think Frost wants that job?
That's the going rumor.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, if
it
you're hot,
may just be, it honestly might be just starting because, it might be his agent starting it because
yeah,
he hears.
To build his price up?
Because he hears Florida wants Chip. And so.
Right. Right,
he throws
which
that
I,
out. Oh, this is what we wanted the whole time, and it's hard to tell. Sources, man.
Yeah, I mean, if he wants it, like, bless your heart, you can have it.
I
don't want it
a,
for him. Like,
right,
does that make
a
sense?
Career,
like,
yeah, from a career standpoint,
it's
kind of
like
I
how you
know
the NFL is going to ruin your favorite college players.
Right.
I have confidence that Nebraska is going to ruin Scott Frost.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like 36. He's already one of the younger coaches in FBS, I think. And, I mean, you could go to Nebraska, and if it's – I understand it's home, and you went there, and you – Did he win a Heisman there?
No,
I think he did, maybe.
I think he was in the rank. I think he was, like, in the – he might have gone
Crouch.
To New York.
It was but. Crouch that won the Heisman.
Oh, Eric
right?
Crouch definitely won the Heisman, yeah.
Okay. So, anyhow, I mean, I guess I understand all of that, but, like, from the standpoint of if you're actually a legitimate candidate to get, like, the Florida job, you could be a legitimate candidate to get – a lot of other jobs, I would think, that would rank you above, that would be better for your overall career than Nebraska. Now, I mean, that sets all sentimental associations aside, but I don't know.
Yeah, I would prefer Nebraska just take the bullet and hire Lane Kiffin and let Scott Frost let Scott Frost take the
free
Florida
up,
job.
Free up our man.
Right.
Right.
Scott Frost did lead Nebraska to the national championship win over Peyton Manning and the Vols.
That must have been
97.
Oh, so we already won a title there. What's he need to coach there for?
Darn right.
He doesn't owe them anything.
Well, the national championship might have been 98. I think it was the 1997 national championship.
The game
was
played
in... Right?
Okay. Yeah, but they did weird national championships back then, too.
Oh, yeah.
They had the bowls, and you just kind of figured out who
they
was number one.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we talked Nebraska. The last two, I think the writing's on the wall at Arkansas. Jeff Long was announced as out as the athletic director today. He will remain on the CFP playoff committee, however, which is funny.
The chairman,
He was last year. I think Kirby Hokut is the chairman this year, the Texas Tech AD, which is kind of funny also, I guess. What a name, Kirby. Multiple Kirbys in CFB this year.
Exciting
That's
times.
Tremendous. So Arkansas, I got to think Bielema's probably on his way out. Natural fit for him at Iowa State when Matt Campbell leaves.
or Nebraska.
there you go. Do you guys have any thoughts on Arkansas? as a job. I mean, these West jobs are tough, I think, to...
Yeah.
And with Saban still sitting there and...
Well, it's like we talked about earlier this year, like, what is it the most Arkansas can do? Like...
Lane Kiffin.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so what?
It feels like nine, maybe 10 wins if you get a bowl win. That's about Arkansas's peak in that division.
They made it to the SEC championship game in 2006. They lost to Florida.
That was the Florida National Championship. And Felix, right?
Yeah, and Peyton Hillis.
That's right.
quite the squad there. And they lost to Florida in the SEC championship game. That was the year Florida won the national championship.
Correct. Arkansas strikes me as like a Georgia Tech. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
They have a role, and they probably in their heart of hearts like want to be good and hang on to those times when they were good.
It's just but like, some extremely natural factors. That
it just doesn't feel likely / possible that they return. Like, don't mess some people up. Don't get me wrong. And I'll enjoy watching them do it. But,
I think I was listening to another podcast, and our guy Bud Elliott was talking about it. But he kind of said, and I thought it was an interesting point, like, at least the style that Arkansas is trying to play, they don't recruit at a good enough level to make for that or style to have any effect on teams that are more talented than them.
Yeah, so then you get into the battle.
They want to lean on some. Yeah.
Then you get into the battle of like, are we hiring to an identity that we want this program to have, or are we going to hire a guy who we want our program to take on his identity?
I mean, they were pretty good when Petrino was the coach. I mean, that really set them behind. I think that's the thing. I mean,
his buyout just got cut in half. When that athletic director got fired.
They had an up-tempo offense. They were exciting. And I think they were unique enough that they could actually present a problem in the SEC West. I just don't know that they present much of a problem right now, especially when you got teams like Mississippi State that seem like they're unique enough that they can get past your more standard teams. So Arkansas is an interesting job. I mean, I think it could be good. You got Jerry Jones money behind that program too. I mean, he's a famous alum, and he, you know, probably isn't afraid to fork over some cash for a buyout if it comes down to it. But
it's going to be really weird. Like Jimbo's getting paid $9 million a year to coach Arkansas next season.
Right?
Like, where did that come from?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because then there was enter Auburn into the conversation. I think their AD is likely to be gone at the end of this year. Is that correct, Jason? Are you sure? Do you know anything about that? Jay Jacobs, I think he's out.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
And
he's retiring. He's retiring.
That's right. So, and then there's
he's out.
Malzahn is from Arkansas, lifetime Arkansas guy, right? And so there's kind of the thought, like, what kind of move is that? But I mean,
that's a sentimental move.
Yeah, but that's a sentimental move. But Malzahn is, like, I would say, forever and always, you could probably say, underappreciated at Auburn. Auburn's fan base is crazy. Like, just absolutely crazy with these coaches. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know that it's safe to say Auburn would come open after this year, but I think it would take some doing, and Malzahn would have to really be making a choice based on wanting to be in Arkansas. But
yeah, it's really fascinating. So, I forgot about this about Jay Jacobs. Jay Jacobs has literally never worked anywhere except Auburn.
Wow.
And he, like,
he started as the young, did he start as the young basketball SID / podcaster?
Yeah, I think that was his career track, yeah. No, this is hilarious, actually. He, like, his senior year at Auburn, he was a football coach at a local high school, and then came back to Auburn after he graduated as the assistant strength and conditioning coach.
Do you screw him?
Worked his way up from assistant strength and conditioning coach all the way to athletic director. Only took him 20 years.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Man.
In 2005, he was named AD. So
it also probably helps to, like, know people.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fraternity over there. But
yeah.
Anyhow, I just think that there could be
Sigma
some weirdness.
Pi, bro.
There could be some weirdness with Auburn that we should keep an eye on.
Auburn as an athletics department is a mess right now. Is a big mess.
Oh, yeah.
Bruce Pearl's
refusing to answer questions.
They are, so their basketball program is a disaster. Two assistants have been fired, essentially. Bruce Pearl is basically saying, show me the warrants. and refusing
also,
to
shout out to Bruce Pearl for just going right back to the well
just
on the balls,
refusing refusing to answer questions of an internal investigation. Not even like the feds didn't knock at his door, it's an internal investigation. He said no, screw off.
Yeah, what are you gonna do, fire me?
And that has nothing to do with the
it's Auburn,
the current softball situation, which gets gross in a hurry.
Creeper, McCreeperson, the coach's
assistant,
son. Like,
yeah, the assistant coach who was the head coach's son and got busted for literally the exact same thing at his old school, and Auburn still let the head coach hire his son.
Right,
and he did the exact same thing, creeping on and having relationships with softball players. It's like, I don't know. If you're an athletic director who has growth to come in the profession, I don't know why you go
to
Auburn.
You mean there's inappropriate stuff happening in Alabama?
It's crazy.
Crazy. I would
sanctioned,
never. Expect.
But enough about politics, Jordan.
Right.
Sanctioned gross stuff.
I would never expect.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it?
That's not the Alabama I know.
No.
Right. All right, so any other jobs, openings? You guys want to talk about any potentials?
No.
Can't really think of
no,
any.
No, I do not.
Top,
I don't want to talk about the, any. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Off the top of the dome. All right.
Shout out to the ACC who might not fire a coach this year. I don't think anyone's. I don't think like I think any openings are going to come if someone takes another job voluntarily. Carolina's not going to fire Fedora.
Adazio has really righted the ship.
Adazio has done enough.
What in the hell is this? There we go. Yeah, let's check it out here.
What, Cutcliffe? He's not getting fired.
Well, no, that's the thing. That's okay. And my computer locked up. I scrolled to the ACC standings and my computer locked up, so that says something.
Okay,
Pitt.
No,
probably not.
It's year two for Narduzzi, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot he just got hired.
So that means like 7 ACC jobs will come open next year, so get excited.
Yeah,
get excited for
Bronco
that.
Will be like the second longest tenured coach.
Immediately. Like one swath of people just
3.5 years in. So, all right, let's move on, guys. We had new playoff rankings last night. Bama, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Auburn.
Yeah.
In that order.
Fine, whatever.
Any thoughts that, you know, Miami fans just searching for something to be offended about.
Right.
They
now they're just going to try and pour it on UVA this weekend.
They went from plucky underdog to, like, perpetually offended about, like, their perception in this period, span of, like, a day and a half.
Yeah, they got real hours. They got real elite real quick.
Yes, real chesty. Right. Real chesty. I had a guy at the gym today tell me that he wasn't worried that Florida might hire Chip Kelly. So just wasn't worried about it because he's never won a big game. This guy's team is literally coached by Mark Richt. So, I mean, okay. Anyway, I didn't say that. But if you're listening,
he's got a goatee now.
You might got
Mark's got a goatee now. He's fine.
That's true. Beach Mark is a whole other person.
He's got the look of. I just figured out what it is. It's that picture that Tiger Woods posted on Twitter of him as
Santa Tiger.
That's the Mark
that
Richt look.
Or when Steve Carell
in fact,
Mark
Richt
walked
not,
into the barbershop with that picture.
I'm not
said,
joking even
this.
A little bit. If I was Miami's like secondary contact for football, I would have him parody that image this Christmas.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I would have him take a picture
and,
like that.
And
free
and
idea
do
to Miami's athletics
please,
communications
please credit
department.
The wheel route. Please credit the wheel
which
route.
Thinks it's way better than it is, just for the record, but we'll move past that.
There you go. Just take
it. Yeah! College communications burn. That's a deep cut for all y'all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. James
I'm
going to
flame
University
you with testy LinkedIn messages.
Darn right.
No, you're not allowed to send testy LinkedIn messages, Jordan. That's disgusting.
Yeah, you have to buy premium for that. That's what's on LinkedIn Premium.
Anyways, you put on here UCF still disrespected, which is stupid, and that's why I hate these rankings and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically just saying, like, if you're a Group of Five team, you're just never, ever, ever going to
we don't
to
want you
in
the playoffs. Screw off.
Right. And, like, I understand, like, their schedule at the end of the season probably is not going to stack up to even a one-loss, potentially even a two-loss team like an Auburn, for example. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, they got to be... They've moved up like one spot, right? From like 15 to 14 or something like that. I mean, it just seems they're undefeated.
Guys.
They've been crushing teams. It's not like they're squeaking by and we're trying to make a case for a team that's like, oh, they're undefeated, getting by. I mean, they are roasting.
Well,
people,
it's not like ranking them higher than necessary is gonna cause implications for other teams either. It's not like they have a matchup with a fringe playoff team.
Right.
Who, if that fringe playoff team wins, that would be a bigger win. Like just. Throw them a bone. Put them in the top 10. Get over yourself.
Exactly. I mean, like, yeah.
Good luck convincing the Power Five of that.
Right. Well, all you have to do is make sure they're not in the top four, right? You've already pretty much made that clear. They're never going to be in the top four. Right. So what,
seven.
If you put them at seven.
Number seven,
eight,
UCF has a sweet ring. Just rolls right off the list.
Yeah, that. And then Georgia could be eight, and their fans could be even more upset.
Yeah.
Right, so.
I like that.
Okay, Jason. Ba-ba-ba-ba. It's time for the Dukes report.
Oh, the Dukes. Yeah, the 10-0 Dukes head to Elon, North Carolina. Don't do that. Don't play me off already. I won this award, and I'm going to thank all the people I need to thank.
All right, that's it for the Dukes report.
Dukes head to 10-0. Dukes head to Elon for the regular season finale. A feisty Elon team this year, 8-2, with a wildly negative point differential.
With a negative point differential, right.
So nobody knows quite what to make of them. JMU is like 19-point favorites. If we win, we'll be the number one seed in the playoffs, have home games all the way to Frisco.
Throughout. I mean, Frisco is basically a home game at this point for the Dukes, know what I'm saying?
Yo, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And then Mike Keeson can take a bus to Texas A&M instead of getting on a plane.
I was so close to dodging it completely. I set you up, and I hate myself for it.
What a meteoric rise that would be. Oh, man. Jason, you got to try to get a job at Texas A&M if that happens.
Yeah
I could get
attach,
it.
Attach yourself to Mike Houston.
Yeah, that's how
except
it works.
Except for College Station is trash.
I'm not even the football contact, but I'll let you on.
You
could
be a Mike Houston's shark.
Lamprey. It's a Remora,
yeah.
For the record.
Big week for the Dukes. We've already clinched a bye in the playoffs, which is nice. Right. We'll have Thanksgiving weekend off, so.
So them offensive linemen can eat up and maybe hit the weight room for a change
right.
Start blocking some people
darn
in the playoffs.
Right.
You're not wrong, brother.
All right, let's talk about some games this week. As we mentioned, this week is not my favorite week.
It's bad.
Football.
Which
real
probably
bad.
Means there's going to be awesome finishes and like
stuff's just going to pop off
wildly
all day Saturday.
Entertaining action.
All right, so starting us off, we got UAB at Florida. Just wanted to touch on
this.
Are
we not talking about Mercer,
quick.
Alabama?
No, we're not going to talk about that. Right. Florida only has 51 scholarship players available for this game, which is unbelievable.
Which is, I think, like 12 fewer than James Madison, so kudos.
And probably 12 fewer than UAB that didn't have a program last year.
Yep.
So,
hey.
Anyhow, I think Florida's open as an 11-point favorite, which, again, seems wide. And
you know what I'd love to see is I'd love to see John Gruden go to this game and
just
watch.
Show up in the stands.
Just watch from a box.
This game, oh man, Strickland.
Because he definitely
ticket.
Like texted coworker.
Strickland's probably in on it. He's like, "Hey, John, this is
hey,
John
let's just
Strickland.
Let's just
know
screw with everybody."
Yeah. Like, listen,
I don't know if you remember me from Crawfish Boil.
Tell your boys at ESPN. We'll drop them a tip sometime in the third quarter. I need them to catch you on camera.
I already parked
in my box.
I already parked an orange golf cart at the airport for 3 weeks, and that's really throwing everyone off.
Yeah. Just imagine how much crap they're gonna. You know.
Do you know how happy it would make me if after all this Scott Strickland came out and just listed all the ways he messed with fans?
He's like,
I would follow him
like
to hell.
He nails it to the goalposts like the 95
he's
thesis.
Just John Calvin's
he's
it.
He's the Martin Luther.
That's
how he makes his announcement. Yeah, and then he announces that the next Florida football coach is like Brian Daboll, offensive coordinator at Alabama. And like he gets just drunk.
All right, I've had my fun. Brian Daboll, you are the new Florida coach.
Bring that baldness and that beard over here. Let's get it on. So, all right. So UAB Florida promises to be exciting at noon.
Florida needs this to go to a bowl, right? Or are they not rescheduling?
Well, I mean, they're not rescheduling. Okay. So I think they're guaranteed losing record. I guess they could be 5-6 and make a bowl in theory. But you know, what
I don't know
these...
how much those academics are progressing over there.
I think they do have the score for it, but I just don't think that they're going to want to accept an invite.
The CBI invite.
Unless Chip Kelly joins up like and coaches the boys up for 13 practices before the bowl game. They come out and just roast like freaking Texas or whoever they play. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh. Yeah, it would.
Okay, Kentucky at Georgia. This is the CBS game, guys.
It is.
Big things popping.
This is one of four games all day Saturday. That feature two Power Five schools with a winning record.
Well, that's dark.
Yeah,
that's real dark.
Especially after last weekend, where it was just an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. So this might just be a day for you guys to recharge your batteries before rivalry week.
God, I forgot about Rivalry.
Take a 2 hour podcast. Spend some time with your family.
Take your lady friend to the pumpkin patch, you know?
Or not, you know.
Yeah.
Or just watch film on UVA basketball.
Swing the kettlebell a little bit to get ready for Thanksgiving, you know. Gotta do that.
Yeah. So
go for a jog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Kentucky's okay. They have a semi-mobile quarterback, and Georgia, you know, got the just ever-living piss beat out of them by Auburn last week. So,
and they've already clinched the East, so they don't have anything to play for, other than style points.
Yeah, I mean, they're down to number 7. So in theory, if they roast Kentucky and then somehow beat Alabama, they're not out of the playoff picture. Yeah. But I think we kind of saw Georgia a little bit exposed last week against a team that can take away what they want to do and force them to try to pass, and Georgia just can't pass, so if they're forced to. Texas at West Virginia.
Could be fun.
I mean, it's a Big 12. This is your Big 12 game here. It's going to be cold in West Virginia.
Another big game for West Virginia to get riled up about.
What's this line?
I didn't see.
Let's guess. I'm going to say West Virginia minus...
West Virginia by 8.
13.5.
West Virginia minus 11. If I can find it, we'll be able to find an answer. Where is
it's an early game.
I went too high.
Okay. Am I not seeing something here?
This is great radio,
right,
boys.
It's a nooner. A nooner at Miller Pitzcar. Wow. West Virginia minus 3.5.
Whoa. Wow.
That is some disrespect.
Texas plays decent defense when they play good teams.
They are getting a little bit better.
That wouldn't shock me at all.
What is Texas's record? Are they like 4-5?
Five and five.
7-3 against the spread.
So they've got West Virginia and who else?
Texas A&M.
Texas Tech.
So they got to win one to go to a bowl.
Did they make a bowl last year? They did not, correct?
I feel like if they would have, well.
No, they might have. I don't think they were. They just weren't as good as they were supposed to be by year 3 of Charlie Strong, I think. So that was sort of their issue. Anyhow, SMU at Memphis. I think this might be one of the better games of the day if you get a chance to watch it. I think it's in the afternoon.
Okay.
That is on Saturday.
That would be a great game to play Friday night.
Yes. That is a classic AAC Friday nighter. But alas.
It's not like it's stealing any shine from anybody.
Right, I mean, he's going to tear a bunch of viewers away from Kentucky, Georgia. So, yeah, Memphis only has one loss, and, you know, they're probably not completely out of the Group of Five Big Bowl bid if UCF slips up. They'll have a game against one of the other good AAC teams in the championship game. So, okay. You guys want to pick games?
I reckon.
We better.
All right, UVA at Miami, number one. Let's go, Hoos.
I can't believe this is a genuine choice.
The Hoos come
it's
in
one
as...
of one of the four games featuring Power Five schools that both have winning records.
That's why
Jason.
I said it. That's why I said a genuine choice. I can't. I'm stunned.
Yeah.
Let the record show.
No home dogs here though. No. Miami is a 19.5 point favorite. All signs point towards this potentially being a long day for the Hoos. Just based on Miami's recent reign of terror. But, noon game at the Hard. It's going to be probably not quite as rocking as it has been the past
couple
weeks.
Probably not quite as hard.
That cannot be our nickname for this stadium.
And,
you've been overruled.
Yeah. Jason, take it away for us, man.
My computer's running like crap right now, so I can't do my usual scouting. I'm going to take Virginia.
Wow.
Yeah. I think they keep it closer than 3 touchdowns. That's that's the lowest bar I can possibly imagine.
Notre Dame didn't.
Oh, that's a fair point.
Notre Dame is also very one-dimensional in offense.
Notre Dame's one-dimensional, and they rolled into Miami for a primetime
game. Notre
Dame
has a good offensive line, though.
Coral Gables got nice and lubed up for it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Miami definitely wins this game. Don't get me wrong, but I think they're prone for a bit of a letdown. They played 2 really, really good, huge home games in a row. seems
yeah,
like
what a freaking schedule for Miami. They've had to play no one on the road, right? Just for the record.
No,
let
you're
the record
not wrong.
Show. And they had a game canceled.
Is the ACC title game in Florida too?
No.
I thought it was back in Charlotte because Charlotte, North Carolina changed that law, right?
Well, they probably. Kind of changed the law.
Yeah, that's true.
They changed it enough.
Right. It feels like this is also just a chaos pick because, like we've talked about, this slate of games sucks. And that's when crazy stuff always goes down. So I think Miami might come out a little lackadaisical.
Yeah.
UVA is by no means a great team, but certainly good enough to punish some laziness a little bit for 2.5 quarters and then lose by 2 touchdowns. So I'm going to take Virginia.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Virginia. I think Bronco had a kind of good mindset about how to deal with the Louisville game. You know, he chose to look at the positives and kind of just say, like, yeah, I thought we played hard. Like, we didn't come out flat. It was just we got outclassed by probably the best player in college football. And Miami doesn't have that guy. They do have other pieces that Louisville doesn't, like a great defensive 11. But I'm excited to see how UVA comes out because they've played really well when they just kind of throw caution to the wind and just say, like, you know, hell with it. We're going to go play ball, and you guys are going to have to deal with this. Or if this is the team that comes out and plays tight like they did against Boston College and got beat by 31. So I'm going to take the Hoos. I think Bronco will have them ready.
Well, guys, I'm going to go ahead and make it a consensus.
Oh,
here.
Boy. We're staking our rep to Virginia.
I'm going to also take the Hoos, which is, I will say some things that give me pause about taking the Hoos. Miami's secondary is really good they play at a fairly elite level. Now, you can maybe say that because their front seven gets after it so much, but the front seven talk is going to be, I think, a little bit neutralized by the kind of offense that Virginia likes to play. I don't know if Miami's going to be able to play a whole lot of their 4-3 base set the whole game. I know Virginia sometimes goes full house backfield and stuff like that, so they might be able to get a little bit of that in. But Virginia's defense has been good at times, and then they've just been really shaky at times too. I'm a little worried about Virginia's secondary. Miami does have a couple really good receivers that could get off, but you know, I think that if Miami's quarterback doesn't play his best game, which I got to think that Notre Dame game was a real peak performance for him.
Right. You got to figure he's due for...
He's got to regress a little bit here. I think he could keep Virginia in the game. And, it's noon. I don't think Miami's going to come out with a whole lot of lead in their pencil, so to speak. So go ahead and give me the Hoos. But Miami gets a – just to point out real quick here, Miami gets to finish the season with UVA and Pittsburgh. Like they,
yeah,
I mean,
so they can rest some guys before Clemson.
Great for them. Yeah. And then they'll have Clemson in the ACC championship game. So they know what they got to do. They're playing I'm sure Richt is playing the disrespect card because they put Clemson ahead of them in the playoff rankings too. So we'll see what kind of Miami squad comes out. But they're swagging on all cylinders right now too, that's for sure.
I know that's right.
All right, Michigan-Wisconsin's next game. I hate this game. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to pick it anyway. Wisconsin is a 7.5-point favorite at home. Michigan is ranked also, which is insane to me. But I guess they've won a couple games or something, and ever since we stopped paying attention to them. So, Jordan, who you got?
I really hate this 0.5 point. I'll go with Wisconsin. I think a noon game plays into their favor because their fans don't give a rip about when games are played. They are ready to football at all times. So I'm going to go Wisconsin. They do, and maybe I just like get this sense from following Big Cat on Twitter, but like they kind of feel like they have a tendency to keep teams in games longer than maybe they should when there's a talent discrepancy. I wouldn't say there's a huge talent discrepancy against Michigan, but Michigan's quarterbacks are bad, and based on
Wisconsin's
that
defense likes to feast a little bit.
I don't think you go into Camp Randall and keep it closer than 8. So I'll go with the Badgers.
I'm also going to go with the Badgers here. They've been good. Jordan, like you were saying, like they keep teams in games. I don't know that they necessarily do, but they like always you look up and they're down like 17-7. You're like, "What is going on?" And then all of a sudden next thing you know, it's like 38-17. They seem like they really just take a quarter to sort of calibrate and then they just go on a run. Maybe get some turnovers and stuff work together. But yeah, Michigan can't do anything on offense. And I think Michigan plays the style of offense that Wisconsin wants to play defense against also, which is very helpful for Wisconsin. So yeah, go ahead and give me Wisconsin here. I don't know that they necessarily blow the doors off of Michigan, but I think that they'll cover the 7.5.
I can't make it this boring. I'm going to take Michigan.
Okie dokie.
Jordan Brand.
Yeah, that's my only reason. Right. That's it. That's right there.
Also, while we're on the topic, shout out to Oklahoma football, getting Jordan Brand uniforms.
Oh. Yeah, it's a shame we won't get to see Baker Mayfield rocking Jordan Brand.
Yeah, I don't know. Wisconsin doesn't strike the fear of God in me. I know Michigan is bad, but weird stuff happens at noon. Jim Harbaugh is still a pretty good coach.
It's Nick Saban in ripped jeans.
That sounds great. I'm on board. I don't know, Wisconsin, not a thrilling resume. They beat Iowa at home last week, which I mean it's
Iowa's their best win. That's their best win.
Yeah, by far, and it's Iowa, which is what kind of felt like a paper tiger anyway.
You can say their best two wins have come in the last 2 weeks.
They played
at Indiana.
Northwestern.
At Indiana.
Oh, no, I think Northwestern would probably be their second best.
Northwestern's
game.
A solid win. Both those games were at home, though.
FAU? Huh?
Sure. Yeah, I'm not blown away with Wisconsin. This is also a chaos pick. This seems like the kind of game that
gets the Big Ten right out of the shelf.
Yeah. Ingrid, Jim Harbaugh is just standing over there on the sideline cackling. Because inexplicably, the Michigan offense has put up 35 points in 2.5 quarters.
Right.
Yeah.
We were saving this for the Ohio State game.
Right, exactly. What's even the point anymore? So, yeah.
Michigan has moved on to, I believe, their third-string quarterback, correct? Who is maybe a freshman.
That
and I think
sounds right.
They have showed some minor signs of life with him playing quarterback. Like he'll probably be the quarterback of the future.
Yeah,
whatever
but
you
there's
say.
Some
but,
film
I mean, it's,
out
it's
on
still,
him now.
They've scored 30-plus
yeah, no,
in four
still
straight
Michigan.
Weeks.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, Michigan just doesn't really seem like they almost seem in a way kind of like LSU was with Les Miles, like just beholden to a really boring style of play that sort of negates their talent advantage because they recruit so well.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
really like that's what got Miles fired at LSU. So
but
how
enough,
about that?
Enough Big Ten talk for this podcast.
We'll move on to two teams that are going to dress alike. Navy plays at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 19-point favorite at home. I don't really have a whole lot of analysis here. Notre Dame was just thoroughly disappointing last weekend
against
the Hurricanes.
They got
and their quarterback looked scared to death in that game. I mean, that was crazy. So I don't know that Navy coming in to the... to the old whatever they call it there, and gosh, where is that place? Where in Indiana is that?
South Bend.
But Navy's a weird team.
Awaken the echoes, Logan. Come
on. They're your Georgia. Navy's your Georgia Tech type team. They run the ball a lot.
They're diet Georgia Tech.
Compress the clock. What'd you say?
They're diet Georgia Tech.
Yeah, they're diet Georgia Tech. Compress the clock. Run it a lot. I think they beat Notre Dame last year. 8 teams beat Notre Dame last year.
Another team.
But so anyhow, long story short here, I think this is my pick. I'm going to take Navy to cover. I think Notre Dame bounces back and wins, but I think the style Navy plays and the fact that Notre Dame and Navy both run the ball so much means this game goes fast and it's hard to get that big of a gap in the score.
Damn it, I love that reasoning. Oh, it makes too much sense, so I'm going to go Notre Dame. Because we can't have nice things.
Right,
and because Brian Kelly,
Notre Dame's up 42-0 at halftime.
Brian Kelly's gonna be looking for blood because he's petty and he got embarrassed last week. But now he's on his home channel.
But is he a good coach?
It doesn't matter if he's a good coach. I think he can, you know. He's not a good man, by all accounts.
He's a real turd burger, right. Is what I've heard.
I am also going to take Navy. I agree. The easier pick in this, the over-under is 59.5, which is nuts to me.
That seems pretty big.
Yeah. I think this game's going to be over. And
screw it. I just want to take the under. Can I just take the under?
Logan and I are going to pivot to the under.
Yeah, that's the Tom Fornelli move. Like, never pick spread games. Yep. Just always pick unders.
Smart.
Classic screw Tom. You, Tom.
Bank. Navy's offense is not fun to deal with. And Notre Dame's a good team. I agree with you pretty much. Down the line, Logan, I think Notre Dame still wins, but I think Navy puts some fear into him, keeps it close till fourth quarter, late fourth quarter,
right,
and covers.
Who is Navy Dude. Beat of consequence?
They beat SMU this week.
Yeah, and that game had 83 points in it, Jason.
That's a fair point. SMU also goes a lot faster than Notre Dame.
Well, don't tell Brian Kelly that. He might just hit the afterburners on you.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay, lost, enough Notre Dame talk.
They lost at Memphis by 3. They lost to UCF by 10. They played UCF pretty well.
Yeah.
Navy's a solid team.
Can't spell triple option without them L's, brother.
That's right. I know that's right.
There's one
okay.
L. There's only one L.
Well, not Navy has 3, so it's triple option.
Nice. Triple option. Okay, here's another fun one. Arizona at Oregon. It's a pick'em.
It is a pick'em.
Yeah.
Our first one of these this year.
Yeah, so MGM doesn't have a line on it right now, and the skeevy Vegas website I went on to said that the two books they've checked have it as a pick'em. So that's what we're going to go with. Jason. All right.
Great. Fantastic.
Crackles.
At Oregon at 7 p.m., give me the Ducks. I think they're very much a team in progress. They just got bodied by Washington 2 weeks ago, but it was 2 weeks ago. They're coming off a bye. They're playing in Autzen at night. Actually, I guess it's not a night. It's in the afternoon.
At dusk.
It's our night, but still not a fun place to play.
Right.
I think Arizona is a good but flawed team. And I like Oregon to win this one.
Ugh.
Right?
I'm going to go Arizona.
Jordan, you and I are going to settle some stuff this week.
Yeah.
Now, don't worry. We'll all find a way to somehow
get gonna
to
it. We're going to go 2-3.
So we're all going to go.
I like looking at Oregon's last 5 that you have kindly pulled up.
You're welcome.
When they play, like, decent teams and teams with maybe decent quarterback play, like Washington or Wazoo or UCLA, they don't do so hot.
Can't shake the Brady hook off of defense in just one season, right. You know?
You got to take multiple showers after that.
get some lava soap on that.
Give me the Wildcats. Give me Rich Rod to continue his, you know, revenge tour. I think he's still kind of hell-bent on, like, oh, y'all thought I was getting fired this year. Well, guess what?
I'm not.
Middle fingers all around.
It's Rich
I'm
going to
go
baby.
4-8 next year, and then I'll be back on the hot seat, and then I'll right. go, like, 7-5 the next year.
Yeah, what did the forecast say? Like, he and the Arizona State guy, like, they just both have mastered the art of being employed. Like, nothing more, nothing less, just continually employed. That's what they shoot for. So, yeah, give me Zona is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona as well. Oregon seems like they're kind of faltering a little bit down the stretch here, and I think Arizona definitely is going to put enough pressure on Oregon's defense to be able to win the game. So, yeah, I mean, it's at Oregon. It is, I guess, a night game in Oregon, so that matters, but Oregon isn't fully clicking Oregon right now, so I don't know if that home field advantage is quite what it should be. So, yeah, go ahead and give me Arizona. But who knows?
Vegas doesn't. That's for sure,
Vegas
Logan.
Vegas doesn't. Yeah, those and those guys in Vegas typically know.
Have that spread at? Did they ever pick them?
Classic. What do they have? What does the FPI say that the score is going to be?
I don't know. I don't have that information. I've already moved on. I've changed my browser page.
All right, the next game is NC State at Wake Forest.
The Claw Fence.
The Claw Fence hosts NC State. Wake is a 1.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah, they are. Wow. I'm pounding the Wolfpack, baby. I'll just come right out and say it.
That well, you get to go first.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it.
Conveniently, Jordan.
Digamelo.
I really like the Chubb fella they've got on the the defensive line. He's a real firecracker. Likes to get after it in the celebration game. A real towel stealer and
strong.
Yeah, I just think I think NC State's more talented. I think Wake runs more of a system deal, so it'll kind of be can talent stay disciplined enough to stop a system game. I'm excited to watch this game. I think it should be rowdy. Wake probably generally doesn't get a lot of night games.
Why is this game on ESPNU with the depressing slate that we have?
What are the other evening games, I wonder?
Guys, real quick, going back to the Arizona game, ESPN has Oregon as a 63% chance to win.
Oh.
LSU Tennessee is on ESPN.
ESPN2 is A&M. Oh, so it's SEC night.
Yeah.
Classic.
See? I know where their bread's buttered.
And
ridiculous.
A year or two ago, those would have been heavy-hitting matchups, but this is where we are. Yeah, so with all that said, give me future Nebraska coach Dave Doran and the NC State Wolfpack.
Nice, I like it.
I think Dave Doran should go coach Ole Miss, actually. I'll amend that statement.
You can talk me into that.
Dave Doran, Ole Miss.
He seems like a nice, God-fearing fellow that would do well in the Grove.
Right. Definitely wouldn't misbehave.
Into some conspiracy theories. He definitely won't have a laptop open on his sideline, that's for sure.
Yeah.
He's got the he's got the Covenant eyes on there too, just to make sure that there's no shenanigans. All right, I'm going to take Wake Forest. They've been playing really good offense recently. The Claw Offense is clicking. They're at home. They scored a ton of points very recently against some team.
Syracuse
scored 64 at Syracuse.
Yeah, and then they rang up a lot of points against Notre Dame too, I believe.
37 against Notre Dame.
Yeah, so anyhow, that all goes to say that I think the Claw Offense is going to take down the Chubb fella and his band of merry brothers on the defensive line. NC State's lost a little bit of steam here down the stretch. They had a lot of hype, sort of. They kind of blew all their hype when they lost to South Carolina. But then they regained their hype, and then they lost again. So go ahead and give me Wake Forest.
Okay.
Based on hype regaining.
Right.
Sure. Crucial factor.
It's a new stat. It's a new S&P Plus stat I'm going to pitch to Bill C.
Yeah, it's tough. That line just seems too low for me to feel comfortable. I'm going to take NC State. I think their defensive line is still roll strong.
Elite.
I like Wake Forest. I love their offense. They're fun. They've only played – this is only their second game at home in the last 6 weeks. So we'll probably be a little rowdy there, but I don't know, that front from NC State just seems like it's gonna disrupt too much. I don't know that Wake Forest has seen one like it since they played Clemson, and they only put up 14 against Clemson. Not that NC State is Clemson all the way back, but that's a similar defensive front. So I think NC State can beat them to 25 or whatever it's gonna take to win this game.
Over-under is at 63.
I would take that under.
Well, that's where you and I differ, Jason.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Love betting me some overs, baby.
Hey, guys.
Sir?
So, Florida plays New Hampshire in basketball on Saturday. Would be an interesting time to announce.
To make an announcement. Maybe at halftime.
A halftime announcement, eh?
Yeah. Has anyone gotten hired yet while we've been recording?
No, but I just sent you some hot Instagram fire, Jordan. You should check it out. It's one of the most ridiculous posts I've ever seen. We have blurry images of people that we think are associates of Chip Kelly's agent getting off of a plane in Gainesville.
Yeah,
so.
Well, Mark Richt was apparently at the Charlottesville airport this time 2 years ago. So,
what a dumb sport we love.
Look where he is now. It's wonderful. All right, guys, I think that's all we got. You know, we've had better weekends. I'm sure we got more to come. Rivalry weekend is coming up, everybody.
Quickly.
Prepare yourself for Thanksgiving as well next week.
Right.
It's really sneaking up on us this year.
Maybe do some good solid eating this weekend. Get a little practice in.
Yeah.
Practice your naps.
Get the tummy nice and distended.
Do we have a real quick preference on Thanksgiving foods?
Sure.
I don't have strong feelings. Like
burgers. I like burgers.
I have very strong feelings.
You eat burgers on Thanksgiving?
Meatloaf. No, I mean, I think I'm going to smoke a turkey, though.
Smart. Oh, yeah.
Delicious.
Probably smarter than going full Florida man and frying a frozen turkey.
Yeah.
Just on my little enclosed back porch.
You already lived through a hurricane.
Right.
You don't need an explosion.
Right. Yeah, the hurricane didn't touch the house, but boy, once Logan tried to deep fry a turkey.
Drop that thing in there.
He burned down the whole house and his brand new fence that was a day old. No, I mean, my mom makes like a, I guess you would maybe call it stuffing, but it's not like in the turkey stuffing. It's just like on a tray.
That's dressing.
Okay, dressing, and it has...
This guy
like,
reads BuzzFeed, I bet.
It's got apricots and large pieces of breakfast sausage in it. Love it. Really strong. Good stuff.
Dad, Pot Crack goes apple sausage stuffing.
Mm.
Real strong.
Okay, I can see that being good. Yeah, so that's my personal favorite thing.
Really the only two non-negotiables I have for Thanksgiving food is that dark meat is better than white meat.
Well, sure.
And that cranberry sauce is trash.
Oh, nope. Oh, you can leave this podcast.
It's horrific.
I'm going to disagree. I like cranberry sauce.
Cranberry sauce is delightful because you only eat it maybe a handful of times a year.
Do you eat it out of the can, Jordan? Or do you, like, is it homemade, like cranberry relish?
No, I prefer cranberry relish.
Yeah.
The gelatinous really cylinder, good. I'm not... IDFW the gelatinous cylinder.
So we used to FW the gelatinous cylinder like often in the White House, like not only at Thanksgiving, like
on
just
Tuesday
have it.
In April.
And
nonsense
my dad,
on stilts.
My dad was very anal about having to like cut the gelatinous cylinder at a perpendicular, so like it was perfect like circular slices. And my mom would just come in with the spoon and just like get some, and like the look on my dad's like my dad would look like he was just like. So mad and just like disappointed, like why would you do that? My mom's like comes in with a spoon and just like cuts a big curvy slice off, and then you gotta, oh,
yeah,
man.
So that was
funny stuff. We used to eat that a good bit. We used to eat actually like pickled cabbage a good bit too.
It's weird,
like,
man.
The purple, see, the really purple stuff.
IFW
that, like...
with pickled food.
Yes, well, that's very Mennonite of you.
Right.
Yes, you got the, it's those strong shank roots.
Right.
They run deep.
Oh, I saw Merle at the Verizon store today, by the way. Shouts out to Merle.
Oh, good. That means I'm getting his Space Gray 6S, like my boy.
Oh, welcome to the squad, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. We in this.
Yes.
Enjoy the last phone that ever has a
headphone jack.
I mean, a headphone jack.
Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, that's enough of this. Thanks for joining us on the Wheel Route podcast. Find us at The Wheel Route on Twitter. TheWheelRoute.com is the website. You can stream the show there, or as always, you can download the show and listen to it from your favorite podcast acquisition service. Go Gators!
Go Hoos!
Hey, go Dukes!